We want to welcome every single person that's joined us through television and especially on the web. Thanks so much for being a part. You've joined us through these media outlets, and we want to be a blessing into your life. We're at Healing Place, and we want you to know that we want to be a healing place for a hurting world, into your home, and into your life. So we want to thank you for being a part. Church, why don't we clap our hands for all those that have joined us. Thanks a lot for being with us. 661. That is a big number. 661. What does that number mean? What does that number represent? It doesn't represent how many days we have left to Christmas. It's not how many sermons I've preached here at Healing Place. It's not how many steps it takes to leave this church and go to the furthest parking place on site, because that actually is 1,250 steps. I've counted them. 661. What does that number mean? That's a big number. That's not how many days till we're able to move into the arena. Can I have a good amen? 661. 661. Amen. I agree. 661. What does that number mean? What does it say to us? 661 is how many games the Saints have played in their career leading up to today. 661 games. 661 today. You know, today is a Super Bowl. So the Saints have played football for 4 decades. They've had dozens of coaches, hundreds of players. They've had a lot of losses, if you know what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, in history, if you look at their record, their win-loss record, they have more losses today than they do wins. 661 games, 377 losses. 377 losses. But guess what? 661 games, 377 losses. None of that matters in the Who Dat Nation, because we're in the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter. None of it matters. What matters is really today, one game. One game. One game. When I think about that, and I just get excited about this game. I don't know if you're excited or you're fired up. I mean, we're getting all excited, man. We're ready for the game in my house. I got my grill ready. I mean, I went out there last night, full with my grill, because Brother Wayne's got to have a place to cook tonight. I mean, you got to know your gift. He skipped me, and now he's teaching my son how to grill. I'm letting him do it, too. I feel the Lord in it. Ready for the game. I mean, I got my remote controls. They're all ready. Delin's making a bunch of dips. She's got grapes to feed me. She brought a fan. Feed me grapes and fan me during the game. That's how we roll at my house, guys. Total package. Even got something to wear. This is got my jersey. Can't watch without jersey. About 2:30, I'll be putting it on. How did that get here? My goodness, who did that? You're crazy. Let me give this to one of our security guys. Johnny, you can't hold it. He's got bigger arms than you. Got to have somebody protect that thing. Big game, big game. When you think about all this, you know, what word comes to mind? When you think about what they've been through, when you think about that 661 games, more losses than wins, and all the years of you know, just tough times, the word that comes to my mind, because it's a word that's been in my heart. It's a word that I've been thinking about lately for my own life, our own family, our church. Word that I think about as it relates to the future, 2010, being an adventure. Making sure that this decade is a full life decade. And the word that comes to my heart, the word that I want to talk about for a few minutes, that I believe is life to our soul, strength to our marriage, and power to our parenting. And it's the word perseverance. Perseverance. I want to take the little bit of time we have, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes about perseverance. Because I believe as you study the Bible and as you look at Scripture, there is this word that goes throughout the Old Testament and goes throughout the New Testament and is so exemplified in our Savior, and that is the word perseverance. Being a people who know how to persevere, having perseverance in your heart and in your soul. Here's what I found out about that word. Just reading, and it seems like as I read lately, that word just jumps out into my heart. When you think about it, you can't achieve or live an adventurous life. You really can't make it in a family. Marriage won't flourish much. You really can't succeed in business. You really won't make it as a student without perseverance. Perseverance is a total difference maker in your life. It makes a difference in your life. Matter of fact, there are different outcomes in your life, different outcomes in your family when you embrace the thought of perseverance. When you decide to be a person who is going to persevere, I'm here to tell you that your outcome is going to happen differently. You get a hold of this thought, this biblical value, this Jesus character of being an individual that's going to decide that in my life, I'm going to persevere no matter what happens. What does it mean? Here's the definition. I just wrote down a few thoughts on this definition. It means steady persistence. It means a steady persistence in spite of difficulties, in spite of obstacles, even in spite of discouragement. It means being unyielding to discouragement, because discouragement is going to visit everybody. Discouragement knows all of our addresses. Discouragement will try to come around your life, will try to invade your world. Discouragement wants to happen in your life. But being a person who's decided that I'm going to persevere in spite of even discouragement in my marriage, discouragement in my life, discouragement in my finances, discouragement in my health, I'm still going to persevere. It means to be unyielding. It means tenacity. Just there's some tenacity about your life. I love this. It means glue. That there's a glue in your soul. That there's glue. That even though when things are falling apart on the outside, there's something on the inside. There's something internal that says, I'm going to hold together through this. No matter what happens, we're going to hold together. We're going to hold together. It's glue. It's being determined. A few more. It's the ability to stay on course no matter the pain and the problems that you face. Stay on course in the face of pain and problems. How many have found out that in life there's going to be a little bit of pain and there's going to be a few problems? Can I have better amen? A little bit of pain, there'll be some problems. As much as our marriage, we're so in love. So love you. So amazing. You light up my life. You light up my world. It's you, girl. I mean, the goosebumps, the tingles. Even in that moment, there's going to be problems. You're going to face pain. Perseverance says, I'm going to stay on course, even though I face pain and problems. It means no matter what, I refuse to not give up. I refuse to quit. I'm not quitting. When you persevere, when you're a person who perseveres, you're saying to Mr. Quit, you're not living in my house. You're saying to Mr. Quit, you're not going to be a part of my parenting. You're saying to Mr. Quit, you're not going to control my resources. That's what you say. You tell Mr. Quit, you're not living here. That's what perseverance is. You know, I was watching, and Dylan told me about this yesterday, so I jumped on the computer and logged up on YouTube and was able to watch this testimony that was taken a couple months ago of Drew Brees on the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you know, interview moment. And so he does this interview to Fellowship of Christian Athletes about when he came to faith. These were his words in Jesus Christ on his 17th birthday while sitting in church. He said he'd been raised in church. His parents brought him to church. But when he was 17 years old, it was his birthday. And the pastor preached a message how God is looking for a few good men. And he said right there in that pew, the Lord spoke to him and said, you're going to be one of my men. And he went forward in an invitation that a pastor gave, and he accepted Jesus Christ, his own words, as his Lord and Savior. He trusted in Christ. It's just a great testimony. Y'all check it out. It's powerful. It'll encourage you. But then he talks a little bit about the circumstances that surround his coming to New Orleans and how he was in San Diego and really thought that was a dream opportunity. Who would not want to play in San Diego? So he was there, but due to an injury and just due to criticism and just things not coming together. He said that right before he left San Diego, some of the worst days of his life, some of the hardest moments of his life. And then out of that, there was this potential opportunity to come to New Orleans, which was right out of Katrina. And you know what we went through as a state. You know what even the Saints went through that first year, playing here, there, everywhere. Not sure if they were ever going to come back to New Orleans. And all of us remember the emblems of the Superdome. You'd see it on television with the roof tore off and all the destruction that took place and the tragedy and the heartache and the things that took place in New Orleans. And you see all that coming together. And here's Drew Brees, who comes out of an injury and decides to come to a city that had pain and had suffering. And he said, you know, even in those worst, there were some days that they were my worst days, but out of my worst days came my best days. He said, now I look at all of it and the pain and the problem and the situation and the issues. He said, now I know it was all meant to be because I'm living in the will of God. I'm in the will of God. See, that's how it works. Perseverance says, yes, today there may be pain. Yes, today there may be problems. Yes, today there may be circumstances and situations, and I may be feeling mighty low, and there may be some reality of problems that are happening in my life, and maybe my marriage is not what I want it to be, and maybe my kids are kind of out of whack, and I don't really know what's happening. But perseverance says, I'm not going to stop here. I'm not going to camp here. I'm not going to make my life here. I'm going to keep looking forward. I'm going to keep moving forward. That's what perseverance says. Perseverance says, I'm going to get through it. I'm not going to stay in it. That's the difference. That's what biblical perseverance is. I've looked through different scriptures, and this example of perseverance is all over Scripture. See it throughout all the Old Testament. You think of as I was reading, I thought about, Joseph. Oh, my goodness. What a person of perseverance. I mean, everything. It goes bad for like 17 seasons. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He has 17 years of loss. He has 17 years where the dream in his heart never gets up off the ground. It's just one thing after another. He has people that come against him. He has people that forget him. He has people that make commitment. They don't hold on to their commitment. But you know what? Joseph didn't let that control him. Even though on the outside it was a little bit crazy, Joseph didn't let it get on the inside. Even though people rejected him, he didn't let rejection get in his heart. Even though people mistreated him, he didn't let bitterness get in his heart. He persevered through it. Why? Because he believed God would be faithful. It's a difference. It's a big difference. And it made a difference in his life. I think about not only Joseph, I think about Gideon. How Gideon persevered. That on the outside, it looked like things were getting less. Things were getting limited. Things were not happening. But see, God knew that he'd take care of business. God saw beyond the lack and the less. And God knew that he had the power to get Gideon through the battle, whether it was with a few or with a lot. Gideon finally decided, it doesn't matter if the Lord saves with a few or with many, the Lord saves. He persevered. I think about Peter, a disciple of Jesus. Peter had issues, my man. Peter said the wrong things. Peter loses his temper. Anybody ever just kind of just, like, okay, what'd I say? You know, anybody got a button you can push? It gets a little crazy. Thank you for one honest person. The rest of you will have a service later on this afternoon for denial. The denial deliverance service. But you got a button you put. Peter had buttons. And it seems like his friends and pressure and problems would push them. And he'd just get mad. He'd get angry. He'd isolate himself. He'd try to get distant from the whole thing. But even in his failure, even in his sin, even in his mistakes, Even when he broke the heart of Jesus and said no to Jesus and didn't do the will of God and was wrong, Peter was able to persevere and fall forward. So that's a big difference. All of us are going to make mistakes. All of us are going to sin. You and I are going to say things, act in a way we shouldn't. The difference is, do you stay there in it? Or do you fall towards the grace of God, towards the mercies of God? Peter fell towards the mercies of God and asked forgiveness. And guess what? Jesus forgave him. It takes perseverance to walk in your forgiveness. It takes perseverance to walk in grace and mercy. Why? Because all the time you and I are hearing everything we're not. God's voice is everything that we can be in the grace of Jesus Christ. Peter persevered. And then there's Jesus. Oh, if there's an example of perseverance, it's our Savior. I want you to look at a scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is an incredible scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. Just this right here is the words of life. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready for Hebrews chapter 12. Look at your other neighbor and say, did he say 661? I'm trying to count that up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Every verse is a filet mignon. Everyone is a lobster. I mean, it is surf and turf in the best moment. It is high protein for the soul that wants to give up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Look what the Bible says. And the sin which easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance. Endurance and perseverance, they're twins. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2 gets even better. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's not only the finisher of our faith, he is the author of our faith. See, what he starts, he's going to finish. It says in Thessalonians, faithful is he that has called us and will also do it. He finishes what he starts. Jesus is the author. That's a good news for you and I. And the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy, interesting word, who for the joy that was set before him. What was set before him? He endured the cross. Joy and endurance. I don't know if those words go together. In the Bible, they do go together. Joy and endurance. Jesus said, it was a joy for me to endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, it may not be fun what you're walking through today. It may not be happy, happy, happy what you're facing today. But if you'll endure, there's joy on the other side of it. Come on, you and I both know how many times we've walked through something. Oh my gosh, that is terrible. Ah, it's horrible. It's not that bad. Gosh, look what God did. Let me tell you about a time I went through. It was so good for me. But in the middle of it, it's so amazing. That's how life works. We go through things, horrible, bad, horrible, bad. You know how it is. You get on the other side of it. It still can be sad. It still can be loss. It still can be painful. But in Christ, you look at it and say, but oh, God was faithful. I don't know how I made it through that divorce. I don't know how I made it through that loss. I don't know how I made it when that person stole my company. How when that person lied about me. How when they took my name and said things that were not even true. It was not true what they said. And my friends believed it. We look back and of course, there's pain, but in Christ, you look back and you say, but I'm a better person today because of it. Amen. because I saw God's hand and I saw God's faithfulness. And in spite of the shame, there's a joy in my soul. That's how it works when you decide to persevere. Last scripture, and I'll finish up. This is a great scripture. For consider him, this is for you and I, this is where application comes in. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. What does the Bible say? If you and I are going to persevere, how we do it is we consider him, capital H, Jesus, who endured the hostility. How many knows we live in a hostile world? We can go through some hostile times. There's hostility that comes against us. People trying to hurt us. People trying to come against our life. Situations and things that happen in the world where you feel like there's a hostility that's coming against you. Jesus had hostility towards him. And the Bible says that he endured hostility from sinners against himself. It was directed at him. It was directed right at him. And the Bible says, here's how we endure. Here's how we make it. Here's how we persevere. Here's how we decide not to quit. We consider Jesus. We consider Jesus who had such hostility towards him, towards his life, towards his dream, towards what God had called him to do, the hostility towards him. And here's what it says, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I'm weary, I'm discouraged. Pastor, I'm weary, I'm discouraged. Encouragement is adding courage into somebody's life. What's discouragement? It's draining courage. Sometimes we go through seasons where we're discouraged. I'm discouraged, Pastor. I feel weary in my marriage. I feel weary when I think about living a 2010 adventure. I'm just trying to get by. You're saying that I don't have to just survive. I can thrive in life. Yes, we consider Jesus. Consider him. Consider him. Consider him when you're weary and discouraged. Don't wallow in it and stay in it and live in it. Don't invite Mr. Quit to dinner. Don't let him come to the house and sit on the couch. Can't make it, man. Dude, it's bad. Oh, yeah. You're all that and more. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Ask him, leave my house. Get off my property. Come on, somebody. Get off my property. Shoo, 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 shoo. Don't sit in the car with me. Don't come into my mind when I lay down to sleep. Shoo, 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 shoo. Why? Because I consider him who endured the hostility when I'm weary and discouraged. I consider Jesus. Because Jesus is my victory. Jesus is my hope. And Jesus is the one that's going to help me triumph in my marriage. Triumph as an individual. No matter how many losses I have experienced, the mercies of God are new every day. Every morning we get to wake up and there's a new kickoff. There's a new kickoff. You know, when I was growing up, middle school was probably my hardest time. I was still in resource class. I stuttered real bad, had a speech problem. And so, you know, it just kind of when you get that age, people start making fun of you more. And we moved into a new neighborhood. Now, how many knows when you're young at that age, neighborhood is everything. I mean, you know, you can't drive. So your neighborhood is where your tribe. That's where you hang out. And so that's neighborhood. Now, I know today, you know, we're terrified of everybody. So kids don't even get to go out in the neighborhood. Stay right here in the house. Y'all play hide and go seek around the couch. Glory to God. You ain't going outside. People crazy. Crazy people in our neighborhood. Call the police. I mean, this is how life is. They scare you that you're worried about. But when I was growing up, we used to take off in the neighborhood, go out all day long, show back up for dinner on Saturday, leave at 9, come back at 7. Just in the neighborhood. And so, you know, those were neighborhood days. So we move into a new neighborhood. Me and my sister right above me, her name is Dina, Dina and Dino. And so Sheila had gotten married. So we're in a new neighborhood. I'm 12. Maybe 13. My sister's, you know, 17. She's a senior, 7th, 8th grade. I'm a little awkward, a little ADD, hyper. I'm in resource. I didn't get out much, if you know what I'm talking about. Back in those days, you just hung out in resource. They didn't let you mingle with everybody else. You just were with your resource people. And so I'm in the neighborhood hanging out, and there was a group down the street that was a house that had seven brothers. They were hardcore guys. They were all like 16, I mean, seven in a row, stair-stepping them. And they all had crew cuts. It's like their daddy lined them up and just, rah, 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 go sit down, rah, 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 go sit down. This is that kind of flow. So I went down there trying to make friends with them. I didn't have a crew cut. I was like 13, real blonde hair, long, parted in the middle, feathered. And I'm a little ADD. Now, some of you know what feather. Don't act like you didn't work the feather flow. Some of you, where are my feather people representing? Where you at? Who that? Feathered in my neighborhood. Go to play football. Not played a lot of sports. Just that time, just still trying to, you know, mature. And so I go down there to play football with them. So I'm terrible. I'm just, you know, throwing the football, running the wrong direction. They get frustrated. So about the fourth or fifth time I'm playing with them, you know, they throw me on the ground a couple of times, you know, beat me up a little bit. Well, one of them gets mad at me. I kind of tackle the wrong dude. He doesn't have the ball. I tackle him on the ground. And he slaps me open-handed. He's like 15. And so I go home with a handprint on my cheek. Feathered hair. My sister walks in and says, "Somebody slap you upside the head?" She says, "You tell them to play football in our yard tomorrow." My sister got an attitude. Seriously. Like today she does. Right this second. My sister's never seen a confrontation she doesn't like. She loves confrontation. She will get up in your face. I mean, I went to New York, me and DeLynn with her, and people like all around, they said, "Back off my backpack!" I'm like, "Glory, hallelujah. Grace, I thought we were going to witness. Let's tell some people about Jesus." I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I mean, my sister's white and has dreadlocks. Talk to me. She ain't scared of nobody. Born with attitude. So she'd want to fight right now. She's like, "Bring him in my yard. Play football here." Well, they come over the next day. She comes outside, walks right up to the older one and says something to him. I see her over there. He walks off, seriously, like quivering. Rash all up on his neck. Pancakes all up under his arm. Man, that whole game, I was like Reggie Bush. I ran the ball. I'm running the wrong way. I scored a touchdown. Yay, Dino, that's incredible. Woo! What's the difference? I'm the same player, got the same skills, working the feathered haircut, but I'm in a different place being watched by my sister. Same skills, same person, different overseer. You got to make a decision that you've got to quit listening to everything you're not. Rejection and quit will slap you in the face every single day if you'll let it. It'll slap your kids in the face. It'll slap your marriage in the face. It'll slap your future right in the face. If you'll let it, it'll slap you every day. You got to make a decision. Who do you belong to? Consider him who endured when you're weary and discouraged.